Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast on a Tuesday. Field Yates, Matt Berry, Jake Dopp, Stefania Bell joining us from the Chateau de Cone as well. A good day here in the world of fantasy football. We got a lot coming up on the show today. We've got the Texans, the Colts, which is part of our Double Trouble series. Looking forward to talking about the AFC South, potentially a three-team race in that division. That'd be fun to sort through. And then also, you know, we realize that while training camps are different this year, and they have been different for the first two or so weeks that teams have been here, or been at their respective camps, I should say, it feels like things kind of got going a little bit in earnest over these past couple of days. It feels like football sort of kind of maybe came back a little bit because players are now allowed to wear full pads, and maybe more importantly for our purposes, the media is now allowed to attend practices, man.
I know.
And it means content, baby.
Oh, my God. So many people in the best shape of their life, Field Yates. Right. It's so exciting.
It is amazing.
Oh, every single thing with breathless. Oh, TJ Hockenson doesn't look 100%.
Right, yeah. It is. There
Cordarrelle Patterson's taking reps at running back. Like, every little nugget is out there.
And to be clear, we live off of this, and we thrive off of it because it is a huge part of generating conversation surrounding fantasy football. And along those lines, we decided to bring something back that has been a staple of
I saw a breakdown. Somebody, like, and God bless, listen, so I follow a lot of beat reporters, as you do as well. But I follow every Washington, anyone that like even just drives by.
A lot of value to DC. So we're going to bring back the ever popular and perhaps, honestly, like maybe an award-winning segment.
Yeah.
Time now for a little bit of news or noise.
News or noise?
Loud noises!
I'm going to hand it off to Daniel here, but just a couple of quick reminders. The idea here is for us to decide if something is newsworthy or sort of just like you were saying, just sort of camp overexposure and we can dismiss it.
With reporters being available, so much news is out there. So we're trying to decide these little nuggets that come out.
Something.
Is it something or nothing? Yep. We paying attention or are we not?
Yep.
We ignoring or are we embracing?
We probably, the title of it's pretty self-explanatory, news or noise, and yet we still gave you an extra explainer. 60 seconds
That's
per
true.
Topic. Daniel, you are
before
playing
we start,
host
for this. Before we start, Daniel Dopp, news or noise?
I would say noise.
Noise.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I noise. Was going to start this by saying this segment originated when Matthew was gone and Field and Stefania
right.
actually came up with this. But now, if I remember correctly, I think Matthew started
That's
it.
That's right.
Now.
You, on the Daniel. Fantasy Show on ESPN noise. Plus.
Wow. Interesting.
I believe that is correct.
Selective memory from Daniel Dopp.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Stefania Bell, AJ Green had a hamstring practice, hamstring injury in practice yesterday. Any concerns about him for being able to stay healthy here in 2020?
Well, that's not this is not the question or the segment. The segment is news or noise, and that item.
You're right. Is that news or noise that it a hamstring injury, Stefania?
It is noise because it's not really an injury. I get it that last time AJ Green tore a hamstring in 2016 and that cut short his season to only 9 games. So anytime he reaches for anything in his lower extremity, people get nervous. But Zach Taylor said afterward it was just precautionary. They just shut him down for the rest of practice. Guys are going to feel things when they start getting out in practice and moving around. AJ Green knows his body. He felt something. He let them know. He was trying to stretch it out, calling this noise.
It's true. Anytime I also reach for something in my lower extremities, people get nervous. It's true. I'm just like AJ Green in that sense.
That feels like news to me.
Yes.
Just put that
just
one.
FYI.
Especially on the list.
Yes. Well, I'm on camera live for an hour every single day. Just have to be careful. What could possibly go wrong?
Hello, Daniel.
Melvin Gordon says he's having issues getting adjusted to the thin air in Denver. News or noise?
Yeah, this is also noise, Daniel. Let's be clear. We hear this from basically every offseason. Somebody signs with the Broncos, and the wind and the altitude and the air is just something they have to adjust to. Typically, we hear from some of the bigger body guys who are already, their cardiovascular fitness is already not quite up to the level of some of the skilled players on the roster. I mean, this is like, not even trying to be funny here, but like Chapin left last week for Colorado where her family lives. And she got there and within like the first couple of days, she's like, man, I always forget. And I'm from here. How thin the air is and how much more difficult it is to run 2.5 or 3 miles compared to doing so on the East Coast. This is noise for me. Melvin Gordon will be fine. I still think he's going to lead this backfield in carries, touches, and touchdowns. We'll talk about him in greater depth once we get to double trouble involving the Broncos.
Yeah. By the way, I much prefer him at his ADP than Philip Lindsay. I actually don't think it's that much of a committee. I think it's the Melvin Gordon show. I think Lindsay is a change of pace, but the idea that they're going to be, you know, close to Gordon Eckler last year, I think is insane.
Ooh, money talks.
Hey, yeah. All right, exactly. Matthew Berry. Doug Peterson says he told Miles Sanders, "You're the guy this season." Yeah. News or noise?
I think that is noise as well. But I will tell you that everyone else will take that as news.
Correct.
So you and I are both outliers on Miles Sanders. The Miles Sanders hype is out of control. People love Miles Sanders. They're ready to knock down the Rocky statue in Philadelphia and put one up for Miles Sanders because he had five good games last year when no one else was available. Look, do I think that Miles Sanders leads the Eagles in touches? Of course I do. He will be the lead running back for the Philadelphia Eagles. So when Doug Peterson says he's the guy, he's right. He's the guy. The fact is that Doug Peterson has never had somebody who is only the guy. I think you'll see some Corey Clement. I think you'll see some Boston Scott. I think there's a chance they sign a veteran. And by the way, I still think that this offense, fully healthy, under Doug Peterson, former NFL quarterback Doug Peterson, will continue to be a throw-first offense. It's not going to be a run-heavy offense. Miles Sanders is going to have a really good fantasy year. I'm not convinced he's having a top seven running back fantasy year, which is where he's going in drafts. He's being drafted at the peak of his value. Like he has to hit exactly. He has to hit in a massive way for him to justify his current ADP.
All right. We have one more. Stefania, I'm going to come to you in one word. What did you feel when you heard Jalen Hurd was injured this past? What was it? Was this yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
What was the question?
What did you feel in one word with the Jalen Hurd injury, Stefania Bell?
No, it's news or noise, Daniel.
I understand. Like, I'm going to come to you guys on
like
news
we've
or
done
noise
the segment once.
Oh,
we've
my
asked
gosh.
Six questions.
I've got
well, it was
like
it
Princeton was, is calling was, you out, and she's was, right.
Okay, I'll start.
Just say
it. I'll start with you guys then.
Look, it was sad news. Sad news. Funereal music. It's not fair to have injuries that can end your season before it starts 2 years in a row. Just saying.
Okay. So then I'm going to come to Matthew and Field, which is where I was going to go after I got a one-word answer from Stefania on how she felt. News or noise on other 49ers pass catchers now that we have had this injury?
I think this is news.
Agreed.
We have Deebo Samuel. He's banged. Obviously, we know Deebo Samuel is out. Emmanuel Sanders now in New Orleans. Somebody other than George Kittle is going to have to step up. Now, is the rookie that we're hearing a lot
Brandon
of buzz about, Brandon Ayuk? Is it Trent Taylor, who I know they like out of the slot, who, you know, like that? To me, I think if they had to start the season today, I think Trent Taylor would be in the slot. I think Ayuk would be outside, and then I don't know, somebody else? Like
Richie James.
Richie James,
Bourne.
Right.
Those are two players
Kendrick
that
Bourne's.
I am more interested in than Trent Taylor.
Really?
I am. Yeah, I mean, they actually played last year. Trent Taylor, well, I know,
was
banged up.
We're very
well,
hurt,
but
yes.
I think that can set you back now. It's not just that you're healthy. It's that you're far behind the learning curve of the other players. But I do think this is news.
Yes.
They signed Tavon Austin. Who else? They signed another wide receiver to another veteran.
Another veteran that has a
how
lot
this
of...
Is, this has not happened to me frequently. They signed Tavon Austin and somebody else that I'm currently drawing a blank on. They're going to keep working out other wide receivers. They need some depth right
if
now.
If you can't remember it, why would you think that we would know who that player is?
Also, Kyle can hear me.
Yeah. Like, oh, they also signed Jordan Reed. They signed Jordan Reed. But anyway, I don't know. I know they like Trent Taylor out of the slot. I mean, you know, Bourne and Richie James to me would be more outside guys, yep. You know, I think. So
Yeah. Anyway,
it remains to be seen, but we know there is value to be had in that San Francisco passing offense after George Kittle.
J.J. Nelson.
J.J. Nelson.
No, it finally came to me. Sorry.
Dynamite. There you go.
All right. Daniel, I thought you knocked that out of the park. I thought you were excellent.
Here's the thing.
I thought you were okay.
I was trying. I understand on the last one, I was getting to news or noise with you guys, but it's a 49ers thing. I want Stefania to weigh in first. So like, you jumped in.
I'm with you, but you could have just asked her news or noise. And Stefania correctly pivoted off of your terrible intro to say... Stefania pivoted correctly and said sad news.
What else is news? Stefania crushes it. The rest of us kind of just... sort of figure it out as we go along.
That's all right.
You want to switch topics?
Let's do it to it.
Let's do it.
Double trouble.
Double, double.
Trouble, trouble.
Double trouble.
Double, double.
Trouble, trouble.
Double trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
We're going to begin with the Houston Texans. And obviously Deshaun Watson is the player you talk about most when you're talking about the Houston Texans. And so I think there are two layers to the Deshaun Watson conversation. Last year, he finished on a points per game basis as QB2, 21.4 points per game for Deshaun Watson, who I believe played 15 games last season. Did they end up pulling their starters in week 17? I know they had nothing to play for in any event. Basically 15 fantasy relevant games last year for Deshaun. So Matthew, this offseason, they traded away the best wide receiver he's ever played with by far in DeAndre Hopkins, and one of the best in the NFL. How much does the departure of DeAndre Hopkins impact Deshaun Watson's fantasy value?
It does. You lose.
How much?
How much? Three spots for me.
That's the answer.
The answer was three spots. So, I mean, like, I had him at QB3.
Yep.
I had him at QB3 behind, obviously, Jackson Mahomes.
Yep.
He's now my QB6.
Okay.
So, look, there's still, this is a guy that for his career averages over 5 fantasy points a game with his legs alone. Mm-hmm. That's not going away.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, Deshaun Watson, just throw out stats for a second from the eye test, whatever. Deshaun Watson's a baller.
Of course.
He's a baller. Yep. He's a special guy. He's a special quarterback. So, and I understand that Bill O'Brien gets a lot of criticism, and I think some of it deserved, as a general manager or player personnel guy. But as a head coach, he is a guy that has always had good offenses. He has always had good offenses. And so do I think this team will figure it out? Do I believe enough in Deshaun Watson in terms of the passing friendly nature of the Houston Texans offense in terms of what Watson can do with his legs? Do I think he has enough ability to remain an elite QB1? I do. But again, the answer is you lose DeAndre Hopkins. That hurts. And so he goes from QB3 to me to QB6.
Yeah, I feel the same. So I'm a little bit higher. I mean, one spot higher. But we think we agree. So I think the consensus from us at ESPN, and I think a lot of people, other than those who are drafting right now, because his ADP is still QB3, is that down a few spots. And that's to be expected, even though he is a Superman-type talent. But where it gets interesting next, Matthew, and this is the second layer of the conversation, is, okay, so I have him 5, you have him 6. The reason why we're one spot apart is that I have Russell Wilson one slot behind Deshaun Watson, and you have Russell Wilson one slot ahead of Deshaun Watson. And here's why. So
you hate Russell Wilson.
If someone wants to break the tie between those two players, and if they're making this decision themselves within their drafts, and if you look not just in terms of our rankings, but also their overall ADP, it's fairly comparable. You could be making that decision. The reason why I lean towards Deshaun Watson versus Russell Wilson is that, to your point, you can pull a million stats to show the excellence of these players. But I feel as though, doesn't Deshaun Watson have slightly more explosive running upside than Russell Wilson at this juncture of their career? Russell Wilson's an awesome runner, but if you look over the past two seasons, Deshaun Watson's got a fairly decided edge in rushing yardage. I think rushing touchdowns are a little bit less predictable, so I'm going to go to yardage. And I think that he may have to do more this year than Russell. Maybe not, but still, my point is, let's leave it there. I think he's got enough rushing upside relative to Russell Wilson, that's how I split the tie. How are you breaking the tie between Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, it's a couple of ways. First off, again, I've talked about this throughout the preseason. It's in my, you know, Draft Day Manifesto, which is available now on ESPN.com. I'm a company man. But I want, when I can, as much consistency, as much as the same system and players around me as I can, right? Because again, like, no preseason games, no, you know, only 14 padded practices. So Russell Wilson comes back into a system and a
same
bunch of teammates.
Watson, though, right?
Well, no, I mean, Watson.
Same system.
Well, no, same system, but adds David Johnson, adds Brandon Cooks. We don't know if we can, adds Randall Cobb. Okay. So there's a lot of more new pieces.
There's more personnel
changes to Watson. Again, you have to nitpick. To your point, like, I have Wilson at 5, I have Watson at 6. You have Watson at 5, Wilson at 6. I mean, we're splitting differences. But if you're in a draft and you're coming there and you decide when you want to draft a quarterback and those guys are going basically in the same range, are you going Wilson, you're going Watson? I'm going Wilson, you're going Watson. The reason I'm going Wilson is, again, there's less change in terms of who's around him this year. I believe he is a guy that has shown a high level of consistency. You think about this. This is a guy that's thrown over 30 touchdown passes for 3 straight seasons. He's the only Russell Wilson. Yep. He's the only guy in the NFL that can say that. that's thrown over 30 touchdowns for three straight seasons, multiple passing touchdowns in 73% of his games over the last 3 years. The rushing upside is there as well. You know, there's some talk about they're going to let Russ cook a little bit more this year. I feel like that comes up every year. But to me, I'm banking on the consistency, and I'm also a little concerned when you think about the weapons around Deshaun Watson. Will Fuller struggles with injuries. Randall Cobb has struggled with injuries. David Johnson has struggled with injuries. Brandon Cooks has struggled with injuries. Like, there's
So the point is taken. You're banking on what you have seen with Seattle, and I'm saying I think there's a little bit more rushing upside, about 200 yards apart between these two players over the past two seasons. So when you're nitpicking, those are the kind of arguments you have to rely upon.
Yes, all right, sir.
David Johnson this offseason was one of the focal points of perhaps the most discussed trade we've seen in a long time in the NFL. DeAndre Hopkins goes to Arizona. David Johnson plus a second-round pick come back to Houston. Now, Matthew, we can talk about whether in real life, if like football value terms, it is smart to trade, you know, a prodigious wide receiver with 3 years left on his current contract that, by the way, was a very, very reasonable price, $39 million over three seasons. That number will grow substantially when DeAndre Hopkins gets a new contract from the Cardinals. For a 29-year-old running back who plays running back, which is somewhat fungible, right?
Right.
And a guy who in recent years has descended in terms of overall play, right? He got benched last year. David Johnson got benched last season. But allow me to start here. I think the David Johnson value has been too depreciated by people. I think that David Johnson is going to exceed not just his current ADP, which is running back 19, but most people's expectations. Because say what you want about the trade, Matthew, David Johnson has a royal opportunity right now in Houston to be a workhorse back. And we were talking about a player who is not Christian McCaffrey. He may not be what Le'Veon Bell was at the peak of his powers. Maybe not Alvin Kamara. But he's not that far behind in terms of receiving ability. The guy is an outstanding pass catcher. And I know the explosive runs are not going to be there. But if you combine, you always say this, talent plus opportunity, you get fantasy value. I think the talent, specifically as a receiver, is enough. And I think the opportunity is just so good that I think David Johnson's going to really surprise a lot of people this year who were taking shots at the Texans for trading for this player this offseason.
I 100% agree with you. 100% agree with you. I'm all in on David Johnson this year. And throw out stats for a second, okay? When you think about, I always go back to Saquon Barkley. And, you know, Lewis Riddick and I, this is something we've talked about on the show as well. Lou calls it sponsorship, right? But the fact is that a professional franchise is like any other business. There are politics inside the building, right? And this doesn't get talked about nearly enough when it comes to fantasy football analysis. Much like the Giants got so much grief for selecting Barkley instead of taking Sam Darnold or any quarterback there, right? The Giants came into that season, Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur, they needed Saquon Barkley to work. If nothing else on the Giants was going to work, Saquon Barkley had to work. And so, to your point, they have gotten so much grief of trading DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson. David Johnson has to work for the Texans. So I believe while he may not be the most efficient running back in the NFL, I believe volume and scoring opportunities in a pretty good offense are going to mask that inefficiency. Again, this is sort of, you know, loosey-goosey math, but just to sort of give you an example of the opportunity there in Houston. If you combine Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson last year, two guys that are not as good as David Johnson, that player would have been the fifth best running back in fantasy. Now, I'm not saying he's going to get all the work that those two guys got,
right?
But I think he's going to get a lot of it. And by the way, you don't need to draft him as the fifth best running back in fantasy. He's going as running back 19.
Yep, I agree on that. And I know Stefania wants to get in on this. So Stefania, we say hello to you once again. And Stefania, I hope this isn't because you want to remind people that David Johnson was your pick in the War Room League in the first round last year, but maybe you have a more optimistic view this season.
Well, we could talk about that because actually, had they let him play, I think it could have ended up paying off. I just wanted to rant a little bit. I support what you guys are saying. I agree with you about David Johnson's opportunity in Houston. I think he's being undervalued. But I just want to complain a little bit about the perception that David Johnson is always injured. I mean, I'm reading everywhere how injuries have limited him and how he's on the decline because of injuries. He's played three full seasons in his 5 years in the league. You find me another starting running back who's done that. There aren't very many. The list is very short. He's had two injuries of significance. Granted, one was the wrist injury in 2017 that cost him the rest of the season. And because he lost virtually the whole season, I think that's why it stands out. But then last year he had an ankle injury, which as a running back who's got to cut and change direction, it's a tough thing to play through. So sure, he didn't look like himself when he first came back, and they brought Kenyon Drake in, and he had this amazing game in his debut against my 49ers, and that really was the end of the opportunity for David Johnson. So as he got healthier as the season went on, he still had limited offensive snaps. So you take a guy who I believe is in as great shape as he's ever been. I do not believe he is marred by injuries, as everyone seems to say. And he's got a fresh start in Houston, and I think he's got a great year ahead of him there.
Stefania, we completely agree with you, and we would just ask if you would just not draft him in the War Room League this year. If you could just do us that favor, that would be great for all of us that are planning on drafting David Johnson in other leagues. We'll come back with you in a second, but can I ask you something
real
quick?
Yeah.
So here's the anti-David Johnson argument.
That's exactly what we have to discuss.
Okay. Yeah. So the anti-David Johnson argument is this. And by the way, just Stefania's point, through the first six games of last year with Arizona, he was the fifth best running back in fantasy. He was averaging over 20 fantasy points a game. So the last time we saw him get significant work over 17 touches a game in this first six games with the Cardinals last year, he was great. He was
totally.
He was the guy you drafted.
Yeah.
The anti-David Johnson argument is this. Is that Duke Johnson's role isn't going away. That David Johnson's going to be used as, in essence, an enhanced Carlos Hyde role. That they're going to just send him between the tackles, which is not what he does well. And that Duke Johnson isn't going away. And so the argument against David Johnson is that, well, he's not getting the Duke Johnson pass-catching role. Maybe he gets a little bit, but not as much as you think. Mm. And if all they're going to do is send him off tackle, that's not what he does well. That's not how he's really built. And of course, there is concerns about injuries, which Stefania is sort of like shot down.
I actually don't think it's either of those things.
Okay, what do you think it is?
I think it's that there's a perception, and it may be a reality, that David Johnson is not the same player he was earlier in his career, right? I mean, right. Just go back and search David Johnson on Twitter, and you can find some plays where it looked like he was running through quicksand last year, right?
Yeah.
Now, as Stefania mentioned, he was banged up, and I will be the first to tell you, not that I can relate to it necessarily, but I am always mindful of the fact that when athletes go from the peak of their powers to the bottom of the depth chart, that can really dramatically impact you mentally. You may not be able to engage yourself in the same way that, I mean, guys flame and bust at the professional level all the time. I mean, Markelle Fultz went from being a prodigious college talent to not being able to shoot in the NBA, right? Like,
right.
Mentally, there is 90% of the game is played between the ears. But that's the anti-David Johnson argument, is that he may not be the same player, but as I believe you illustrated earlier, that's baked into where we have him ranked. That's why he's not a top seven running back in our rankings, because I think there's a chance he'll have more total touches this year than Nick Chubb or Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not quite as many as Austin Eckler, but close. And that's the reason why we're a little bit down on David Johnson. But I think for his purposes, I actually hope that he bounces back and proves a lot of people wrong.
I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. The opportunity is there. I think it's going to be massive. Again, like I said, they need David Johnson to work. And so that's what I'm saying is like maybe he's not he has the same burst. Maybe the efficiency isn't there. Maybe if you start looking at his yards per carry average, it's not going to be great. But again, do I think he's better than what Carlos Hyde was last year? And Carlos Hyde, by the way, wasn't terrible. Carlos Hyde actually looked
1,000 yards,
looked pretty good last year. My point is I still think at this point in his career, he's more talented than Carlos Hyde or Duke Johnson. And those guys combined have a pretty good fantasy season last year. I think he gets the majority of the work in Houston and is the lead running back of a pretty good offense. And he's being left for dead in drafts. He's going way, way late.
A wide receiver conversation in a second. But first, we get back to Stefania for a note from our pals.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
All right, let's jump right into our wide receiver conversation here in Texas. We got a lot to get to. Stefania, that was Emmy award-winning stuff from you.
Yeah, good job on that live read, Stefania.
Yeah, that was great.
Let's talk about the wide receivers. And Stefania is right here with us, which was great. And let's continue to have a conversation about Texans offensive skill players, Stefania. Brandon Cooks has missed just two games over the past five seasons, yet he's got a very scary history with concussions. He says he's fine and comfortable. Are you comfortable with Brandon Cooks and his trajectory on the way back from those scary concussion situations?
I am. You know, I think he's certainly in great hands. The medical staff that he had available to him in Los Angeles is fantastic. And no doubt he was walked through everything, the risks, the rehab process, recovery, et cetera, going forward. And as you pointed out, he's only missed two games in the last five seasons, and they both came last year. And obviously the time off is important because it gave him time to fully recover. But if he's not concerned about it, I don't think we should either. And it's not something that you factor into fantasy draft risk for recurrence like you do with soft tissue injuries. So from that standpoint, we're glad he's healthy. And he certainly doesn't give us anything else to be concerned about when it comes to being available every Sunday.
All right, don't go far because we have more conversations very shortly about another Texans wide receiver. But Matthew, let's get going there with Brandon Cooks. And you had mentioned this, I can't remember what the context was, whether it was a trivia question or something, but for four straight years, prior to last year, Brandon Cooks had at least 65 catches and at least 1,080 receiving yards. 2 years ago, we were consistently ranking all three Rams wide receivers, Cooper Kupp and also Robert Woods, within the top 20 in weekly rankings. Brandon Cooks fell off a cliff last year, obviously. The numbers tell you, 8.6 something points per game. Right now, his wide receiver ADP is 39. I've got him at 41. You've got him at 37. Daniel at 37 as well. Are we way entirely, completely underestimating Brandon Cooks? Because I'm starting to think we have.
1,000%. And you heard me say that, I don't think in a trivia question, but in me talking about it, like doing a video talking up Brandon Cooks, which I loved the move for the Houston Texans when they acquired Brandon Cooks. Look, I have him higher than ADP, and I may be too low on him to that point.
That's what I'm.
You mentioned the 1,000 yards and four. People forget because last year was such a washout for Brandon Cooks. People forget that he's still young. I want to say he's 27.
Yep.
So he's 27 years old, 26. Or 26, right? He's had over, to your point, over 1,000 receiving yards in four straight seasons. He did it with three different teams, right? So it was from 2015 to 2018. Here's the wide receivers with 1,000 yards in all four of those seasons: Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, and Brandon Cooks. Okay, this is a guy that from 2015 to 2018 was wide receiver 7 in terms of total fantasy points. He was wide receiver 16 on a points per game basis. Okay, he is going to a team with Deshaun Watson, who was top 10 last year in terms of deep ball on target rate. Okay, Jared, he was not. He's a good deep ball passer. And oh, by the way, there's some deep ball targets available with DeAndre Hopkins now in Arizona. I know they've got Will Fuller there as well. We'll get to that.
DeAndre wasn't much of a deep threat, but still, your point.
DeAndre, no, they. I mean, anyway, look, I don't want to get sidetracked there. They would throw deep to DeAndre as well. But my point is that Brandon Cooks is somebody that has excelled and been a fantasy asset on multiple teams. So the idea that he's going to a new team here, maybe there's he knows the drill, right? Whether it was from New Orleans to New England, from New England to L.A., like. The fact is that Brandon Cooks, there's weird circumstances as to why he has been on so many teams. But this is a guy that was a first-round talent that teams have traded first-round picks to get. He was drafted in the first round, and then teams have drafted for – he was second round?
No, he was traded twice for a first-round pick.
He was a first-round pick out of Oregon State, right?
Yep, and he was traded twice.
He was traded twice for a first-round pick. And so, anyway, I just feel like this is a team that's going to need to generate offense. And if Stefania's giving him a clean bell of health regarding the concussions, I think he is a massive, massively underappreciated fantasy asset this year.
I am with you. I think, and this is, again, this is, our, I think, our 11th double trouble. So we've gone over two-thirds of the league or close to two-thirds of the league. I'm wondering if there's a player that I am more behind the curve on, not relative to how the industry views him, but just how I think he's going to maybe perform this year than Brandon Cooks. I may need to really adjust my rankings and move him up from like 41 to like late 20s because the guy has shown himself many times over. Let's go back to Stefania. And we have another wide receiver to ask about. And he's not quite Alshon Jeffrey, Stefania, but he feels kind of close to it in terms of frequency that we're asking about him. And that's Will Fuller. Will Fuller, for as much talent as he has also missed a lot of time.
He has, and he's missed time every single year. If you look at per season, 2016, 14 games, 2017, 10, 2018, 7, and 2019, 11. And he was banged up for a lot of last year. Do you know that he actually missed time, came back, missed time, came back, missed time again, then came back for the divisional playoff. So soft tissue injuries, which have really been the bane of his existence, are the things that have caused him to miss these sequential periods of time off. Last year, it was a hamstring injury. He had off-season core muscle surgery in January. He says he's healthy, but even Bill O'Brien said that Will Fuller is going to be on a, quote, unique ramp-up program. I think you combine the challenges of a player who's had a lengthy soft tissue injury history with the fact that we have this crazy altered preseason because of no off-season workouts, just the layers to what's happening this year. There's no preseason action, which might be good for Fuller, but there's also no acclimation period to playing in games. Really tricky to gauge. Always fantastic, flashy when he's on the field, but the things that he needs to make him so electric, hamstrings, the power, quads, that's where he tends to get injured.
Thank you, Stefania. Appreciate that. We will be back with you in one more second. We've got a lot of injured wide receivers on today's show, so appreciate the thoughts. And by the way, heads up, Stefania, this is not the last time you'll be talking about Will Fuller this preseason or this season. Feels like you've had to talk about him quite a lot. Field, where are we on Will Fuller? We just talked up Brandon Cooks and the upside there. Will Fuller has as much, if not more. The health is always the question. How comfortable are you with Will Fuller? You have him at wide receiver 33. I'm at 35. His ADP is 35. So we are right there with the consensus as well. You're a little bit more optimistic than I am.
Yeah, but you know what, Matthew? Think about this.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, quarterbacked offense. Really good.
No doubt.
Vertical threat. Game-breaking ability. During, he is not the most touchdown-prevalent player during his first four seasons, but Will Fuller is one of the preeminent touchdown-making wide receivers in the NFL.
No question.
He is going into the season healthy. There are a bunch of targets that have been vacated from DeAndre Hopkins. Understand that they also added Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb. On paper, there is a world in my mind that I could say, yeah, like, why am I not thinking of this guy as one of the top 15 fantasy wide receivers in football? But you know something, Matthew? It's just been too many years. It's been too many years of too many moments. It's too many times asking Stefania, what's the latest on Will Fuller?
Yeah.
And so I just can't take the leap to put him inside my top 20 of wide receivers or inside my top 25 of wide receivers. And so I think the question really simply comes down to, for Will Fuller, are you willing to bank on the idea that he can become a weekly 8 to 10 target per game player, he can stay healthy, and then he can excel to another level? And my answer is, I'm not ready to make that risk.
So, yeah. So here's the thing. The question you asked, are you ready to bank on it? And no, I'm not ready to bank on it. Here's the great news. You don't have to bank on it. He's going as wide receiver 35.
Right?
He's going in the 10th round. And by the way, he's going 20 picks ahead of Brandon Cooks. Just if you want to invest in a Texans wideout, Cooks, right. But I'm just saying, like, wide receiver 35. He's your fourth wide receiver. And for your fourth wide receiver, the upside, to your point, is massive. His last 16 games with seven or more targets.
Yeah, but.
But that's a real thing. Hang on. The idea here is, could he see seven plus targets a game with DeAndre Hopkins gone? He could, right? His last 16 games, he's averaged 87, over 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns, 259.9 fantasy points, would have been wide receiver 7 last year. Again, it's all sort of loosey-goosey math, but the point, it's some numbers to illustrate what the upside there is with Will Fuller. If I told you right now, I said, hey, Field, Will Fuller is going to play all 16 games this year. He's going to be fully healthy. Where do you think Will Fuller finishes?
That's what I was saying, like a top 15 wide receiver.
Right.
Right, but again, that's the point, is that, and I know you're saying at cost. I'm just telling you, that's why he is not being drafted. much higher. We are okay with it.
And I'm saying, yeah, and I'm saying that risk is baked into his ADP. I love Will Fuller as, in best ball, obviously. Love him as a wide receiver four. Like, that is a guy that is the quintessential perfect wide receiver four. Not somebody you need to count on a weekly basis, but for the weeks that he's healthy and you know he's going to produce, bingo bango, there you go.
Much better to fill in during your bye week than to rely upon for every week of the season. Any other Texans pass catchers that you want to address before we head over to the Colts?
Not really. The only thing I will say is...
You can't say not really, and then the only thing I would say...
No, not really is fungible. Yeah. It's not no, it's a not really.
Okay.
Not really. The only thing I was going to say is that if I'm picking a Texans tight end, no, Darren Fells had, you know... had a big year last year. Kali Waring is the guy that I'm hearing the most buzz about out of the Texans camp. So... I think it's probably a tight end by committee, and there's so many moving pieces there. I don't know that I'm drafting him except in like the crazy deepest of leagues. But if I had to pick a Texans tight end, Waring is my guy.
All right, that's an interesting name. Very athletic player, that much is for sure. We're going to talk about the Colts in a second, but first, Matthew, we hand it over to you.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com today or just stop by.
The Colts are a team that has playoff aspirations this year. A little bit down last season. They have changed quarterbacks, but... they've also made an investment in a running back, Matthew, and they have Jonathan Taylor, their second round pick, 41st overall. I believe there's the second pick they made in this draft after Michael Pittman Jr. Jonathan Taylor and Marlon Mack should sort of man this backfield. I think the question basically is the decision you're making is that right now, going into the season, Frank Reich continues to state that Marlon Mack is the guy. And I actually take him at his word on that, because I do think there is, as much as fantasy football sees the talents of someone like Jonathan Taylor, I do think that NFL teams, there's an acclimation period, right? There's things like picking up the blitz, knowing changes in audibles line of scrimmage. Marlon Mack, if you just draft a guy and immediately bench Marlon Mack, what message is that sending to the rest of the locker room where culture matters so much that we just say, oh, you know what, Marlon, we'll kick you to the curb. He's a free agent next year, and it may be that he plays somewhere else after this season. But I think he's still a factor. Along those lines, Matthew, I do wonder, is running back 23 for Jonathan Taylor, early eighth round, where he is currently being drafted, too rich, or is it just right because this guy is an absolute workhorse stud?
So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of pieces there. Just to add on what you're saying. Phillip Rivers is a veteran quarterback, and he's going to want somebody back there. Jonathan Taylor is a guy that ran the ball a ton at Wisconsin and didn't have to do a lot of pass protection there. There are questions about not necessarily his ability, but his experience in pass pro. And so when you've got a veteran quarterback like Phillip Rivers, chances are, especially initially, that he's going to want Marlon Mack or Nyheim Hines back there, veterans who know the system, that know the offense. Having said that, Jonathan Taylor, 5'10", 226, 4'3", 940. If Marlon Mack had pulled a Damian Williams, if Marlon Mack had opted out of the 2020 season, Jonathan Taylor would be going at or ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the running back, as the lead running back of the Indianapolis Colts. If you had no Marlon Mack, 100%.
No way.
Behind
You're
one
crazy.
Of the best offensive lines in football. Are you absolutely?
How many catches did Jonathan Taylor have in college?
Doesn't matter.
9 and 26.
Yeah.
It does matter. We play PPR scoring. It definitely matters.
I know. I am telling you, the hype on Jonathan Taylor, that's where, I'm not saying necessarily that that's where I would draft him, but I'm telling you, that's where he would go.
Yeah,
the hype on him would be out of control. The hype on him is already out of control because this was one of the best runners in college history. He was an amazing guy who had a nose for the end zone. He's going to a team that has one of the best offensive lines in football. Mm. Nyheim Hines is merely just a pass-catching running back. The concern on Marlon Mack is this is a guy that's never played all 16 games in three NFL seasons. I'm with you, but do you think there's an could he be like a great version of Mark Ingram? Could he be like an elite version of Mark Ingram?
He might have to justify where we're currently slotting him, because again, so we are ranking a player who I do believe is the 1B going into the season to start the season, right?
Yep.
Who he had 26.
You're saying 1B to Marlon Mack, 1A.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You accept that premise as well.
I do.
He had 26 catches last year, so this could be a little bit of chicken and egg, right? Like, is he not a great pass catcher, or do they not need him to catch pass as much at Wisconsin? Right. There's one red flag on Jonathan Taylor's college resume.
Okay.
He fumbled too much.
Right.
And you know what coaches in the NFL appreciate fumbles? None of them, right?
Except Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll's okay with it, weirdly. Pete Carroll,
yes, he does. You know, it's a good point. Pete is the one who's like, Chris Carson.
Hey, get back on out there.
Well, that's my concern. So again, I love this player, and I'm with you. I don't think he would be going as high as you are saying with Clyde Edwards-Helaire if Marlon Mack was not there and had done the Damien Williams opt-out.
The argument would be he's Derrick Henry.
Right.
That would be the argument.
That's exactly what it would be. I just don't think he's Derrick Henry yet. I really like the player. I just do wonder. I do wonder that even at running back 22 or 23 right now, that's maybe a little bit too expensive. And maybe I'll be proven wrong, Matthew, because Marlon Mack will be benched within 5 games, and this will be the Jonathan Taylor show. But last thing I'll say here, great offensive line. Great offensive line. What has Marlon Mack been behind this great offensive line? A really good player, but definitely not like elite fantasy superstar, right?
Right. The counter to that is, I think Marlon Mack's a nice player.
Sure.
He ain't Jonathan Taylor.
Of course.
He ain't Jonathan Taylor.
Totally.
So first off, I think Taylor is a special talent. Secondly, we expect this offense to be better. I mean, like, Philip Rivers, we expect him to be an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett has been their quarterback for a while now, right? And so and they've sort of had to game manage. And so there's at least a threat with Philip Rivers back there that you have to respect the long pass. And so you're going to have to – I think that's going to open up the offense a little bit more. So to me, Jonathan Taylor is somebody who he's currently going between Devin Singletary and DeAndre Swift. And I'm totally okay with that. I've seen some drafts where he's gone like top 12, top 15, and I think that's just sort of crazy.
Right.
And I also think, by the way, a lot of the drafts that I do now are quote-unquote expert drafts or analyst drafts, drafts with people that do what we do at other companies. And I think there's a little bit of, for lack of a better phrase, peacocking, trying to like show off, like I want to plant my flag on this player, so I'm going to draft him way. And I always think like, well, but that's not where he's going to go in real draft. Anyway, but that's a whole nother rant. But what I'm going to say is that he's going between other question mark guys. He's going between Devin Singletary and DeAndre Swift, other guys that are going to be in committees that we just sort of don't know exactly what their role is going to be. The upside on Taylor is so huge. I'm certainly okay with where he is. I mean, again, his ADP is running back 23. I have him at 23. Secret Squirrel, you're a little bit lower on him at 27. But if something were to happen to Marlon Mack, and again, he has missed multiple games in all three of his NFL career, in every year of his NFL career, in all three seasons of his NFL career, Jonathan Taylor, I think, is a special. He's going to be a special player in this league. The question is just, does it happen this year? And I think it does at some point.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree. He's going to be a very good player. I do wonder if, like, and it's fair when you're noting the other question mark running backs behind him or around him, I should say. I just might be. I don't know. I'm still sort of settling on this one myself, because I think Marlon Mack is going to continue to have a role. I think the Colts are going to be loyal, maybe to a fault, towards Marlon Mack, who currently, by the way, is being drafted running back 42, early 15th round. We're talking about, second to last round flyers. We're fine with that. Daniel's a little bit more optimistic, though. You're split, just to get you involved here, Daniel.
Sure.
You're a little closer. Are you maybe siding with what I am saying here, that like you're not quite ready to crown or coronate Jonathan Taylor?
I want to see it before I feel like it. Listen, I liked Marlon Mack last year. I thought Marlon Mack was a fine player. I don't think there is a, when I look at running backs, and this is just me maybe being a little bit risk averse across all the things that I do, rookies this year with a different kind of a training camp, I'm just couching it a little bit because I want to be a little more risk averse.
That's why Daniel hasn't shaved in 7 years.
That's exactly what it is.
Risk averse. He doesn't want to get any cuts.
Those are tiebreakers for me a lot of times when I'm looking at some of these conversations or how I'm moving people up and down. And that's a personal thing.
Fair enough.
Which is 100% fair. And by the way, I don't think I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here.
When I say
that Jonathan Taylor is the Colts running back I want, that I think that when we look back a year from now, who had the most fantasy points, assuming health, it's going to be Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
That said, I think Marlon Mack is a value Field, to your point, his ADP is running back 42. He's going to be the starting running back of the Colts, at least initially. He's going to have a role against on a team that should be run heavy, that should score a lot of rushing touchdowns, and it is a very good offensive line. This is a guy that, you know, had 16 or more carries in 9 of 14 games last year.
The big thing for me is if the passing game usage gets involved, then he can make the whole conversation seem silly because he could be a top 15 running back.
Yes.
That, to me, is sort of the key that unlocks everything.
For Taylor or Mac.
Yeah, or Mac.
Mac hasn't been used in the passing game very much.
So we know for Marlon Mack that's not going to be a factor. For Jonathan Taylor, if you can A, take him over, and B, be a passing game threat, he's in business.
Before we move on to pass catchers, I just want to ask you, do you have any interest in Nyheim Hines? I've seen some talk about, because we know Philip Rivers likes to dump the ball off a little bit, Austin Eckler, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Hines is going to be the pass catching running back. Yeah. Do you have any interest at all?
Not except for in deep league.
Me either.
He could be a fill-in during a bye week,
so,
et cetera.
1,000%. Because Nyheim Hines, what we just described is his best-case scenario. It's the Tariq Cohen argument. This is my point, is I would much rather take, give me J.K. Dobbins.
Yep.
You know, give me Latavius Murray. Give me a guy that's a backup, but that if he were thrust into the starting role could win you the week, then somebody like Nyheim Hines, who's going to get you 9 points, or 7 points, whatever. He's going to catch 3 balls for 40 yards or whatever it is, right? And maybe 4 times or 5 times during the year, he waltzes into the end zone. But you're never going to know when to count on that.
Yep.
Like, there's no upside to Nyheim Hines, right? Yep. His best case scenario is as a flex play. And so, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because, to me, Nyheim Hines is sort of the poster boy of sort of draft strategy and roster construction. And just like, that's a guy that I'll never have on my roster. And it's not that he's not a nice player or that he doesn't have value. It's just like, when you're constructing your roster, guys, we're not playing for fourth. We're swinging for the fences.
Play to win.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We go back now to the Chateau de Cone. Stefania Bell, who has the insight on Mr. T.Y. Hilton, who missed, I believe, 6 games last. Stefania, how is the ghost shaping up for the 2020 season?
You know, Field, it's tough when you see a receiver who's been so healthy for so much of his career struggle with injuries as he gets older, and you start to think maybe this is the beginning of that decline in soft tissue health. And I think that could be a little bit of what we're seeing with T.Y. Hilton. Think in his first 6 years, he either played either 15 or 16 games every season. In fact, only 4 missed games in his career prior to last year. And then last year, it sort of fell apart. He had the quad injury early. You remember it cramped up on him, and so he missed a little time with that. Then he comes back in week 8. He has a calf strain that he gamely tried to come back from and push through, but he was never 100%. He was in and out of the lineup several times before the season ended. In the offseason, he said that calf injury was 3 centimeters in diameter. That's huge when it comes to a soft tissue injury. I mean, the good news is it's not a surgical situation. The offseason should have allowed him time to heal. But what it tells you is that it was significant. So between his quad and his calf, and then a hamstring tweak while he was training at home just prior to training camp, it all makes me a little bit nervous for T.Y. And it's a shame because he's an excellent route runner. And our colleague Matt Hasselbeck told me once that he's the best at tracking the ball when it's in the air that he ever played with. And if you think about what Philip Rivers likes, you look at how Keenan Allen, who's an excellent route runner, is so important to Philip Rivers. I think there's a really good opportunity for them to have great chemistry. I hope T.Y. Hilton can stay healthy, but he's definitely a little risky. riskier this year than he has been in the past.
Really interesting. Not a clean bell of health there. Great stuff, Stefania. Yeah. We always appreciate the wonderful insight. But I thought coming into this conversation, my concerns about T.Y. Hilton would not be about the injury, Matthew. It will be about the fact that last year he saw his most, a precipitous dip in terms of yards per catch last year. The guy last season averaged 11.1 yards per catch, down from 16 for his career.
Yeah.
So I think the, so where are you
at? How much of that is Jacoby Brissett?
I played with him the year before.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, like, but T.Y. Hilton has seen a drop since that. I mean, like, this is a guy that was wide receiver 5 in 2016. He was better with Andrew Luck than he was with Jacoby Brissett. I don't think I'm saying something controversial there.
No, not at all. So let's
look. The pro T.Y. Hilton argument is that it's a better quarterback, and could he be basically Keenan Allen's? Could he be Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen in this Colts offense?
So I think the answer is no on that,
right?
Because the volume has never been as high as Keenan Allen was. Right, he's always been better in terms of yards per catch, but not nearly the volume of Keenan Allen. The other thing about T.Y. Hilton, and this might just be just sort of bad luck, but he has always sort of just been middle of the pack in terms of receiving touchdowns. I believe, and Kyle can certainly check me on this, he's never had more than 7 receiving touchdowns in a single season.
Correct.
Okay, that's confirmed. You're talking about a player who is, he's much more likely to go 62 catches, 1,080 yards, and 5 touchdowns than he is to go maybe 104 catches for 1,120 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns, right? Like, that's sort of his MO, has been lower volume, better yardage, occasional touchdowns. And the question I think I'm sort of asking you is, do you think he's going to be unlocked right now and actually have a chance to see a whole new version of himself with Phillip Rivers?
Look, yes, I think there's a chance for that. But I mean, I am at wide receiver 23. It's the ADP actually is wide receiver 23. So me and the people have got it exactly right. That's nice to know. Once again, man of the people, Matthew Berry, right here. I'm in sync with what America wants. We are simpatico. But the problem is where he's going. Like, he's going between like Keenan Allen and Terry McLaurin and guys that I think have a little bit more upside.
I agree there.
Which is weird to say for a guy that we know has got top 5 ability, but given the injury concerns and the fact that he's playing with a new quarterback, just makes you a little bit nervous. Again, wide receiver 23 means I'm fine with him as my number 3 wide receiver, a wide receiver 3 with upside, jokes aside, but he's a wide receiver 3 with upside, but he's not somebody that I would feel super comfortable going into the season counting on for 16 games.
I think, people could make a case, like, again, guy who's been a top 5 fantasy receiver in a season before, number 1 wide out, all those things are good.
On a good offense,
quarterback, that why is he not somewhere inside your top 12 to 15? And for all the reasons we just mentioned, those are the reasons why he is right outside the top 20. Any other Colts wide receiver or pass catcher that you want to mention as a favorite flyer before we wrap up Indy?
I've drafted Paris Campbell in a couple of them. Everyone wants to talk about Michael Pittman, and Paris Campbell is the guy that had all the hype last year, again, injured. But I think Paris Campbell's a really talented player if you go back and watch his Ohio State tape. So he's sort of an interesting late-round flyer. But Jack Doyle is the obvious guy here, Field. Just knowing the tendencies of Phillip Rivers to target his tight ends. Now, is Jack Doyle as good as Antonio Gates or Hunter Henry? Remains to be seen,
yeah,
right?
The answer is over.
Okay. I was trying to be nice
here.
He's
a really reliable player, though.
But his ADP, Jack Doyle, is tight end 17. He's going undrafted in 60% of leagues.
Yeah.
Like,
I hear you.
I mean, like, last 5 seasons, when Phillip Rivers targets the tight end position, fourth in total fantasy points, a league high 104 red zone pass attempts to tight ends. Eric Ebron's now in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but
so you've got like Mo Alley Cox and Trey Burton there. I'm just saying, I think Jack Doyle is a very solid late round tight end, that maybe the upside won't be there, but I think he's got a much higher floor than some of the guys going ahead of him.
Yep. I think that in a position where it's really hard to find stars, he's not a star, but what he is going to be is he's going to be a tight end that you can use and probably feel fine about if you don't pay the premium on a Kelce or an Ertz or, of course, Kittle as well. All right, Daniel, let's wrap this thing up with a Geico trivia question. I don't know why I'm asking you to ask the question.
Yeah, I don't know why you are.
The answer is Kyle needs to ask a trivia.
That's right.
I got you covered. DeAndre Hopkins, obviously not a Texan anymore. He scored at least 135 points in all 7 of his seasons in Houston. I want you to name for me the other 2 Houston receivers that did it during Hopkins' stay.
Wait.
So DeAndre Hopkins scored at least 135 points in every season. There were two other Houston wide receivers that during DeAndre Hopkins' time also scored at least 135
Correct.
Points.
In a season.
Can you name them? Oh, well. Can you name one?
I can hear Stefania writing furiously, so yeah. I hope you guys are bringing it.
She got it right last time.
She did get it right last time.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting tired of. Why do we have Stefania in this segment? Do you guys remember?
No one has
She's going to take
question.
The lead, and Clearly. She started like halfway through. Right.
Yeah, no one has answered that question.
Oh,
man, this is a tough one.
This is definitely a tough one.
I think I know.
Ugh, if I had rotopass.com, I'd find out.
If you had a rotopass.com subscription, you would know the answers to all these things. You would know all the answers to draft. You would have draft software. You would use the promo code for 06010, and you would get 10% off at rotopass.com.
Yeah, you would.
It would be
all right.
Amazing.
Let's get the answer. Stefania, who you got?
I got Will Fuller and Kenny Stills.
Okay, Will Fuller and Kenny Stills. Matthew, how about you?
I'm embarrassed. I put Will Fuller and Andre Johnson. Did Andre Johnson play a year with DeAndre Hopkins there?
Yeah, you're good.
Will Fuller and Andre Johnson as well. How about you, Daniel?
That's what I was going to say was Will Fuller.
And what is the answer, Kyle?
Okay, Andre Johnson did it twice. Will Fuller was a point short last year. Nate Washington. In 2015.
Nate Washington.
You gotta be kidding me. Kyle, you are an absolute. You and Hembo are gonna have to do a little trivia duel off.
That's mean.
They call him Swoopy Hembo.
But wait a minute. So we all get half a point, though. Me and Field and Daniel get half a. Are you playing now, Daniel?
No, I just guessed for fun.
Okay. So me and Field here get half a point for Andre Johnson.
All right, we are back tomorrow, but we'll take a half a point. I'll take
1,000%.
Whatever. I'll take as many points.
Let me ask you this: if I didn't give you a half a point, but I took a full point away from Stefania, would you rather have that?
Ooh, I'm in.
Ooh.
Of course, right?
No, that's
sure.
Yeah. You can't.
Would you rather give me a field goal
mid-stream.
Or let them take away their
touchdown?
Change.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Take away a point from Stefania.
All right.
Or guess.
Hey, how about we take a point away from Daniel for not giving me the live read and screwing that up? So I think
Daniel has no points.
We're going to call
Daniel scoreless in life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for rubbing it in, Stefania.
Matthew, just so you know,
nice round 43 show violation. Just
by the way, did you hear that? It was three. I only had three. I had six yesterday. I'm cutting
right
it
direction.
In half. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Depends on how you look at it. It was either a poor show by me or a great show by me. I don't know.
We finish up the AFC South tomorrow with Jaguars and Titans. In the meantime, for Daniel, Stefania, Kyle, Matt, everybody, Matthew Field. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Peace out, America.
Center for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make